Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
June 26, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, more on printing. Welcome back to another show. I'm going to follow up on a topic that I've covered off and on over the last few months and that we've had a discussion about on the Digital Story public group on Flickr, which is printing and printers. Now, this is something that we do have to come back to every now and then because the world of printing is changing constantly. And also, as photographers, we evolve and maybe our standards get a little bit higher or we become a little bit more interested in making bigger prints. Things happen and then suddenly topics that we weren't as interested in before suddenly become more interesting. So we're going to revisit printing today. What I want to do is talk about some of the printers that Digital Story members are using right now. They've shared their thoughts with us on the discussion group. Talk about the printers that are looking good to me right now. And then I also want to sort of distill the printing process down to just three steps so that you have a very good chance of getting good prints once you do get your printer, computer, software, and everything lined up. So we're going to chat a little bit about that today. I want to start out with the printers that people are using right now. And it was very interesting. We did a little poll on the public group, on the Flickr public group. And if you haven't been over there, I encourage you to stop by. But anyway, so I started a thread because I was sort of curious about how people were printing right now at home, and especially our members in general. So I got some good results. You know, the leading printer, the printer that on this discussion that people were using most often was the Epson R1800. And it's a very, very good printer, and people seemed quite satisfied with it, the Epson R1800, a popular printer with Digital Story photographers. And also, a lot of folks still like to send out to the lab. And that could be anything from taking your memory card down to Walgreens to uploading to a professional lab and everything that's in between, you know, Shutterfly, SmugMug. There are lots of printing options online. And those are good options, and especially if you don't need the print right away, especially if you're okay waiting a couple days to get it back in the mail and you don't mind paying for the postage. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about online printing in this show. Now, the HP B9180 is making a good showing. And of course, that is a 13 by 19 printer that prints archivally, especially when you're printing on HP paper. And I think it's probably the best value right now in medium-sized format fine art printers, just because, you know, you can get it for less than $500. The ink is reasonably priced. The output is fabulous. And it doesn't waste ink also, because if you leave it on, you have to leave the HP 9180 on. If you leave it on, it constantly cleans its heads. Like once a day, it'll run through a little process where it cleans its head and everything. So that way, when you're ready to print, even if you haven't made a print in like a month or 2 months, it's ready to go. It doesn't have to dump a bunch of ink to get ready to make a print. And it's a very efficient printer. So I was happy to see that a few of our Virtual Camera Club members are using the 9180. You know, HP's funny because I've talked about this before. When you think of printers for photography, normally you don't think of HP at the top of your list. I think most people will think Epson. I think a lot of people will think Canon also. And, you know, HP seems to be down there. But they are making fabulous photography printers right now, too, and should be, in my opinion, right up there with Epson and, you know, in Canon, too, as the three brands that I think are most interesting in home printing right now. Speaking of Canon, a couple folks are using, you know, Canon, you know, the i9900 and the i960. A lot of folks use Canon printers in a multifunction role. And what I mean by that, they like the prints that they're getting out of their little Canon printer. They're good enough for the quick and dirty prints, as we would say. And they're using it for text and business documents and that kind of stuff. And I think the Canon printers are good all-around printers. You can get a very decent prints out of them, out of the low-end ones, you know, the ones that only cost $100 or so. And, you know, the key to that, of course, is getting your workflow in good shape. And that's going to be the second part of this show today. But definitely Canon is in the mix, as you would suspect it would be. So we've got a pretty good lineup. I was surprised that I didn't see any higher-end Epsons on this discussion, like the 2400 or even the new 3800, only because they're really good printers and tend to be popular, although they're a little pricey, you know, and that may be the thing. You know, when I talk to people about buying a printer, most photographers don't want to spend, you know, more than a couple $100 on their printer right now. I think for a lot of photographers, buying a printer is a lot like, you know, buying tires for your car. I mean, you know you need them. They're not really that sexy, generally speaking, unless you're a tire guy. And so you know you got to make the expenditure, but you don't really want to spend any more money than you have to. And I sort of get that same vibe around printers. It's like, yeah, Derek, I know I need a printer at home, and I have one. And it does a pretty good job, but you know, really, I don't print that much, and when I do, I send it out, and you know, that's just fine. I totally understand that, because even when you have your workflow down, you have to be in a certain frame of mind to print. Have you noticed that? You know, printing is something that you go, you know what, it's a Saturday morning, I got a little bit of quiet time here. I think I'll, you know, multitask a little bit and maybe run some prints through. And, you know, so you start fiddling around, maybe print out your first print, and it's close but not quite right. So you kind of play with that a little bit, and then you're waiting for it to print, and you're doing something else. And then you come back, and then maybe you run a different print through. And next thing you know, your morning is gone, and you have like three prints. And it's not that you've wasted a lot of paper or anything. It's a process that goes slower than, you know, the other things that we do, you know, especially in the age of digital photography. When we worked in the darkroom, it was a little bit different, because you would... Now, talk about having to set aside some time to do some stuff. I mean, you really had to set aside time, because you were in there and you were not multitasking there in the dark. You were doing darkroom stuff. But, you know, generally speaking now, digital photography, we shoot fast. We review our images right away. Even when we put them on the computer, we have software applications that allow us to review them quickly there, rate them, throw a few up on a web page, send a couple off to email, and we're off to lunch. And I think printing still, even in the digital age, still is the closest thing to what we used to do in the darkroom and what we used to do when we worked with film. And it just goes a little different speed. And therefore, you know, in all honesty, a lot of people don't have the time to really fiddle around with printing. And, you know, and actually then the physical time that it takes for prints to come out of the printer. So printing is definitely a different frame of mind. Now, I can help a little bit with that just by, you know, talking a little bit about simple workflows to get good prints. And I think what I'll do is I'm going to cover a little virtual camera club business right now. And then I'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about, okay, how can I get good prints 80% of the time, 90% of the time, spending as little time as possible. So let me cover a little virtual camera club business. I'll come back and we'll get right to that. Let me start today on our virtual camera club business with the digital photography public group, the Digital Story Digital Photography Public Group, because it is a good source of information for everyone in our virtual camera club, and it's a good source of information for me too. It allows me to find out things about what you're thinking and what's important to you, and then bring that into the podcast and to my regular posts and so forth. So I want to give you the URL for that right now, and it's www.flickr, and that's F-L-I-C-K-R, no E, www.flickr.com/groups/thedigitalstory, all one word. It's really that easy. flickr.com/groups/thedigitalstory. And of course, here you can submit up to 5 photos a week that show up in our member gallery. So they're both here on the Flickr page, and they show up on the Digital Story on the member photo gallery page, which is really nice. Here's where the discussion forum is, where you can ask questions and participate in other people's conversations. And then also, if you want more in-depth feedback on your photos, when you post it here, add the critique tag to it, and there's a whole bunch of us that sort of scan through there, and we'll try to give you some meaningful feedback on your photos, more than just the nice shot man comment that you see on so many photos on Flickr, which is nice. It's great to get the pat on the back, but at some point, if we're really going to become better photographers, we need something a little bit more meaningful than nice shot man. So, that way we can kind of serve as your photo buddy, even though we may be way across the country or even across the ocean. So, but in order to get that sort of commentary on your photo, you do have to put the critique tag in there. And then, of course, I hope you put the TDS tag on everything that goes in this public group. So anyway, Digital Story, the Flickr public group, if you haven't been over there, make sure you go over there. And if you have a chance to go through and provide some commentary on people's photos who want it, that have the critique tag, please do that. I really encourage you to participate that way. That's one thing that you can do in this group that really gives back to other people. Maybe you don't feel like submitting photos yet for review. Maybe you don't have time for the photo assignment or grab shots. But the one thing that you can do is always provide feedback to people's photos who are looking for that. And all you have to do is under search, just enter critique when you're in our public group there. And then I suggest, there's a couple different ways to view these photos. I suggest that you view by most recent, and then just scan through there, and you see one that encourages you to talk about it, then do so. And, give the person a little feedback. We try to be positive in all ways, and then also try at the same time to provide some ideas to help them improve their photography. So that is the public group, and I hope you have a chance to go over there. The photo assignment for this month is before and after, and we're getting near the end of the month. So you know what that means. We're getting near deadline. And before and after, so this is a two-shot photo assignment. And so the first shot will be something right out of the camera without any image editing per se. Of course, you need to reduce the resolution a little bit to send it in. But other than that, it's sort of the raw photo. And then the second shot will be, what you did, your standard image editing or something that you did to get the photo to the place that you like it, to the place where you would make a print from it or put it on a website or something like that. So that's the before is right out of the camera. The after is after you've done some work on it. Send them in together, and I think it's going to be a really interesting gallery. Remember, you have to the end of this month, to the end of June, to get your submission in. Make sure that you submit it the right way, which is, in the subject line of the email, put a photo assignment June 2007, and then that way I will get it, and it will go in the right place in my email box. Grab shots. Oh, keep those grab shots coming. And again, make sure you label those as a grab shot in the subject line. And remember, the whole notion behind GrabShot is this idea that I think you should carry a camera with you as much as possible. This is one of the reasons why I like good compact cameras, and this is one of the reasons why I'm happy to see camera phones getting better all the time, so that photographers always have a camera with them, because a lot of times that's when interesting things in life happen. And if you have a camera with you, you can capture it. And a lot of times that makes a good grab shot submission. So that's sort of the guts of the grab shot notion. And, you know, when you see interesting things in the world happen around you, hopefully you have a camera with you. You can capture it and send it in, and then we can share it with the rest of our virtual camera club members. And finally, I want to thank our sponsors, Expo Disc, really the best way to use your custom white balance function on your camera to get accurate color every time. They have a tile on all the pages in the Digital Story, and you can visit them at expodisc.com. And Photomagico, the best slide software, bar none. And they also have a tile on all the pages. Click on them, go over and see what they're up to. These are two great sponsors for the Digital Story, and we want to support them. Okay, let's get back to printing. So once you have a printer that you like, and you know, almost any of the inkjet printers that say they do photographs these days print well. But there's a couple little steps, little secrets along the way. And I have three basic ones. And I want to just review those today, because if you just do these three things, your prints will be better and you'll be happier with your printer. Now, the first one, as you may guess, is calibrate your monitor. You can get colorimeters now, or screen calibrators, for fairly cheap. I know the Huey is fairly affordable. It's less than $100. The Spider and so forth. If you're really kind of serious about your photography in terms of making sure that what you're editing and what you're looking at on your screen is, to standard, then I recommend that you buy one of these things and calibrate your screen. Of course, if you're on a Mac, you have a built-in screen calibration that you can do. If you just go to the Displays Preference panel, and you'll find in there a little walkthrough to calibrate your display. Now, you're doing that visually, so it's subjective, and I think using devices is better, but this is actually a really good start if you don't have a device right now. So either way, calibrate your screen and get it accurate. And again, your color temperature on your screen should be right around 6500 degrees. Your gamma should be at 2.2. I recommend 2.2 because that's basically the industry standard right now. And then, of course, your gray should be neutral, and on and on and on. So once you get your screen calibrated, there's another kind of little tip that you probably don't hear as often, but it came up in the discussion forum where people said that they were basically happy with the prints that were coming out of their printer, but they were a little dark. And so, they got the color right and everything else was right, but they were running a little dark. And this is something that I've run into also. Now, I have very bright screens. I use a MacBook Pro, an Intel Mac, that has a very bright screen. The laptop does. And then I also have a 23-inch cinema display that's also very bright. So what I've noticed is that when I'm getting images ready to print, I actually don't have my screen at full brightness. I usually take it down about 3 notches. So, if you have like 10 notches on your brightness scale, I usually have it around 7. And by doing that, I have found that the images that come out of my printer very much match what I see on my screen. Now, of course, this is given that your screen is a backlit device and prints are reflective. So, there's always going to be some difference. But I notice that when I knock down the brightness on my monitor a couple notches, that I'm a lot more happy with what comes out of the printer. So that's a tip I want to pass along to you. And for those of you that commented on the forum that you basically like your printing workflow, other than your prints seem to be coming out a little dark, give this a try, and I think you'll like the results better. The second tip that I have for worry-free printing and keeping it simple is basically use the paper that's provided by the manufacturer of your printer. So if you have a Canon printer, use Canon paper. If you have an HP printer, use HP paper. Epson, use Epson. So on and so forth. Now, I don't say this because I think their paper is necessarily better than independent manufacturers or than, you know, other brands. I say this for ease of use, because one of the things that you will get with almost every printer these days that's designed to print photographs is that when you load the driver for the printer, you will also get ICC profiles. And these are profiles that help your printer communicate with your computer so that you get accurate results. And these ICC profiles are, you know, calibrated for the types of paper that the printer manufacturer makes. So you should see in your print dialog box, when you look under profiles, you should see profiles for your printer with the basic paper stocks that that manufacturer provides. And you want to use those, and you want to match that ICC profile for the paper that you have loaded in your printer. So if you're using, you know, Canon glossy, you want to make sure that you're using the ICC, the Canon ICC profile for its glossy stock. Same thing with Epson and HP and so forth. By doing this, you will have set up good communication with your printer to your computer. Now, you've already got your computer calibrated, so you can trust what you're seeing on your screen. Now, the next step is, I'm talking with my hands. You see, this is how excited I get with it. My hands are waving around here in the studio, and I'm knocking things over. So now, the next step is, of course, is to then make that information that your computer has, that accurate information that your computer has about the image, is to communicate it accurately to the printer so the printer can provide you with the output that you expect. And by using ICC profiles that are matched to the paper that are in the printer, you've taken a huge step forward in doing that. Now, if you want to get slightly more complicated, I'll just do this little digression and then we'll get back to the third step. But if you want to get slightly more complicated, what you can do is go to third-party paper manufacturers, and there's a lot of good ones with really great stock, and go to their website and see if they have ICC profiles for your printer. If they do, you are in luck. And then what you can do is use their paper that you like, load that in the printer, load their ICC profiles onto your computer, use the corresponding third-party ICC profile, and you're in business. So I only say use the manufacturer's paper as a starting point because it's simple, and I want you to have good results so that you're encouraged. But once you sort of get the knack of doing that, there's a lot of, you know, the third-party paper companies, they're getting very smart about this. And so they're providing ICC profiles for a lot of the standard photo printers out there. And if you can find profiles, then I encourage you to experiment with their paper too, because they're making great stuff. And we want them to make great stuff. We want to support them. Now, of course, if you wanted to get really complicated about things, you could make your own ICC profiles, and that takes a little bit of work, and that takes additional equipment. But that is an option that you always have available to you, and if you have that equipment to create your own ICC profiles, then you can use any paper that you want because you're creating your own profiles. And, of course, they're the most accurate profiles, too, because they are created specifically by your printer for your printer. But for starters, I would start with using the paper provided by your printer manufacturer and their profiles and get a little momentum. Now, the third and the last thing is, and I've been round and round with this one, but the point that I've come out to is let the application manage the colors. And you have usually a couple different options on this when you're in the print dialog box or whatever you're using. You can have the application manage the colors, and you know that would be, you know, Photoshop, Aperture, Lightroom, whatever you're using to print. You could have the printer manage the colors, and these are all options that are available to you when you're setting up your print job. Or if you're on a Mac, you could have ColorSync manage the colors. After having tested all this and talked to many, many, many photographers, I think the consensus is that when you're using ICC profiles and you've got a good workflow going, let the application manage the colors. In other words, let Photoshop manage the colors, let Lightroom, let Aperture manage the colors, and I think you'll get the most consistent results. Now, when I use a Mac, you know, sometimes I have worked with ColorSync, and ColorSync has done a really good job. But overall, I have settled on application-managed colors, and it seems to work most consistently. So the three simple steps to printing are this. First, make sure your monitor is calibrated. For those of you that have new bright monitors, you might want to knock the brightness down a couple notches so that your printer has a chance to produce something that's close to what you're seeing on screen. The next thing is make sure that you match your paper and your ICC profiles, and make sure that you call out the appropriate profile in your print dialog box. And the easiest way to do that is start with the manufacturer's paper, because you probably already have the profiles. But once you get some momentum, please, please experiment with other paper stocks and anything that you can find a profile on, because I think that will broaden your printing experience. And then third, I recommend that you let the application manage your colors. Overall, I think you'll get the most consistent results that way. All right, so there is a little update on printing. I think we should have some fun with this, output some stuff. If you're sending your stuff off to the lab, then I think really the main thing that you have to do there is make sure that your monitor is calibrated, as we talked before. And then most labs will use sRGB profile, the commercial ones. But if they have a specific color profile that they have available, ask them about it. See if you can get those profiles, and then use that profile when you know you're exporting your image and getting ready to send it off to them. And that should give you nice, accurate results with them. That should do it for this week. Go out and print something. Don't forget to take pictures. Next week, I have a fun show for you. I have the editor, the book editor in the digital media division of O'Reilly. Her name's Colleen Wheeler. You may have heard me interview her before. And she's going to come on the show, and we're going to talk about vacation packing and getting your gear together to hit the road. She's been working on this. She's got a lot of great tips and personal experience. I have a little bit of that myself, and I think we are going to have an absolutely great time. So make sure you come by for next week's show on vacation packing. Until then, take some pictures. Stop by the Flickr public group, The Digital Story. Submit your grab shots. And if you have time, make a few prints too. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.